It is a great privilege to have some special guests with us today, Keith and Lynn Turcotte. And I've been lying to you for the last couple of weeks, but not deliberately. As I've talked about them coming, I said, yeah, we had them come probably about 4, 5, 6 years ago, and we were comparing notes this morning. I think it was closer to 10 or 11, maybe even 12 years ago that they came to be with us. And after they came, we said, we got to support this couple in the ministry that they're a part of. You know, God calls people to all different kinds of ministries in the effort to reach them for Jesus. You know, even the Apostle Paul, the great evangelist missionary, was also a tent maker. And trying to reach people where they're at, not just inviting them to come to where you are. And Keith and Lynn Turcotte have a very interesting, unusual, different sort of ministry from what you would normally think of, but I think it's right in the mainstream as far as the way God thinks of things. And that is, the official title of it is a motorcycle chaplaincy, which basically means they reach out to people that love motorcycles. How many of you love motorcycles? Number of hands went up there. So I don't want to take away from any of the time that they have, so I'm going to invite, are you both coming? Keith, you coming? You're both coming? Come on up. It's so good to have you with us today. They're going to share what they've been doing. We've been partnering with them for 10 years, so everything they talk about, we've had a part to play in that. They may share what's coming up in the future. We're going to continue to have a part to play in that, and he's also going to bring a word from God for us today, and then at the end, we'll take an offering for their ministry. God bless you. Good to have you here.
Pastor Tim. Thank you, Pastor Tim, Pastor Jan, and church for allowing us to come today. We're glad to be here, and time flies. We were talking about, you know, how long it was since we'd been here, and my wife were discussing that right before we came in. We stopped just short of getting here to get our bearings and make sure we knew where we were going, and she said that she left right after the service that we had here because we had twin grandbabies that were about to be born. And so she went to be with my daughter for that. And since then, we've had 7. So it's been a little while. We've got 7 grandkids that have been born since we were here. And I told Pastor on the phone when he called us, I said, you know, we love to go to churches. We love to reconnect with churches that support us. But I don't always try to, you know, call and push my way in because lots of missionaries are trying to get into the churches to gain support to go to the mission field. And once we've already got our support, it's not that we forget about you. My wife's going to share some things for just a minute, thanking you for your support, your prayers, and also for other things that you've done during the time you've supported us. It's very critical, needful. We tell people we're not out there for money, but without money, we're not out there. And so churches and people just like you enable us to reach into a segment of society that a lot of people are never going to touch. But God has miraculously opened doors that we could never imagine. I'll share that with you a little bit more in just a moment. But I'm going to let my wife greet you and thank you and share a couple things before I come back.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure. We were in the other sanctuary at the time when we were here last time, but I remember it very vividly. I don't know. Sometimes I just remember things, and he'll say, how do you remember that? And I'll say, I don't know, but I remember pretty much a lot about that service. And we went out to eat, and I think we went back to your house, and afterwards I left, and I rode over. It was a baby shower is what they were having. My daughter had twin babies that were born 3 months early, so it was a real dramatic time in our lives. We were trying to itinerate and raise funds, and our twin babies were in the hospital for 3 months over in Orlando. But they're almost 12 years old now, and they're our miracle grandbabies. They're no health issues, no problems. You know, God was good, and I thank Him for that. I also want to thank you for your support over all these years. I don't think you've ever missed a gift. You've never forgot about us. I know you pray for us, and we love getting your cards. Every time we get that brown envelope and it's got those cards in there and all your signatures and your words of encouragement. I don't think we have another church that does that. So God bless you for that. And the sunglasses. We spoke to the lady a while ago. We were being greeted. She called, and we got a whole case of sunglasses. Two cases of sunglasses. And when you're out in the sun and in the events that we do, bikers are going up to the table, and they're going, "How much?" Well, they're free. No, it can't be free. Yes, it's free. They were given to us so we could bless you. So thank you for that. So yesterday, I just want to share one little story. Yesterday, we do all kinds of outreach ministries where we try and have bikers come into where we're at. We were at Daytona Bike Week. We were there for like 10 days. Yesterday, we went to a little event in Arcadia, Florida. I don't know if any of y'all know where that is. It's down south, kind of close to Punta Gorda, I believe. I looked it up so I could kind of know a little bit about the town. It's a cowboy town. They race cows and horses. And a few years ago, there was only like 8,000 people in the town. Well, yesterday, we were in an event that over 10,000 people came on motorcycles, not including two-up people that were on their bikes. We had a little vendor booth there. We were giving Bibles away, tracts, just interacting with the people. Well, a lot of times I'm looking for the ladies to come by because there's so, you know, it's a man's world out there with the motorcycles. But more and more, there's more ladies becoming involved. And twice yesterday, God gave us divine appointments with a couple of ladies. One young lady, she walked by with her husband, and one of our guys said something to him, so they came back, and she stood there, and she said, "I need prayer." She said, "My mom is in Mexico. I'm worried about her." I had a prayer with her, and then she's crying. She starts crying. And after I prayed with her, she said, "You know, you guys out here," she said, "I feel something over here." She said, "You guys." She said, "Can you pray for me?" She said, I've wandered away from the Lord. I'm not living for him anymore." She said, "Can you pray with me that God will forgive me and that God will start using me and that my life can change again?" So right there on the streets of Arcadia, Florida, with thousands of people walk by, I held her hands. And we prayed a sinner's prayer. And without you guys, that wouldn't happen. So I get emotional because it's so exciting what God's doing. We are U.S. missionaries. Our world here in the United States needs a move of God. So if we can be a part of that, I'm so excited about it. Just 15 years ago when we started, I'm more excited every day what God is doing. We never envisioned what God would be doing with us now, 15 years down the road. It was just me and him out there, and now there's a whole group of people, thousands of people that are with us, that are networking with us and reaching different parts of the country for Jesus. And I'm just excited to be part of that. So now I'm going to turn it over before I take too much time.
My wife is such a blessing. In about 2.5 weeks, we'll celebrate our 39th anniversary. And thank you. Amen. I'm so thankful for her. I got saved at a David Wilkerson crusade in the 70s. I was a drug addict and all those kinds of things. I don't want to talk much about that. But God gave me a lady who grew up in a pastor's home, and she helped balance me out. And she still has such a heart and such a passion for people. And everywhere that we go, she's looking for those opportunities, especially with the ladies. Because as she said, the world that we work in and minister in it's predominantly a male-dominated thing, but there are many, many, many women that are out there, and a lot of them are not treated the way they ought to be treated as women in this world that I'm talking about. I see some people nodding their heads. They know what I'm talking about. But we call this year of our ministry, it seemed like that when we started doing outreaches, that God was sending people, we were having divine appointments, and God was sending us people that Let me just share with you a little bit about the type of people that we minister to. Unlike church folks, and I'm not saying anything negative about church folks. We love all the church folks. But how many know that sometimes church folks will act like everything is okay, even when it's not? You know, we're used to putting on the Sunday best, coming to church looking good on the outside and trying to act like everything is just as good on the inside when we know that it's not always the truth. That's not always the case. But in the world that we're working in and ministering in, a lot of these people will just spill the beans. They will just begin to tell you their brokenness, their problems, their situations. Another lady, my wife started to mention another lady that came by drinking a bottle of beer and already half drunk. She said she had walked by our area and something made her turn around and come back because she needed to spill. There was things that she needed to confess. And this has been a prevailing thing this year that God has brought people to us. A lot of times they'll be in the vicinity and they'll walk by and then something tugs at their heart and they turn around and they come back and they begin to share, and we begin to share about the love of Jesus and why we're there and who we are. And then they will begin to open up and start confessing the failures and the things in their life. And that happened in Daytona with a guy that came all the way from New York to Daytona Bike Week. And I perceived him to be a good man. And we were just small talking, and then all of a sudden something happened. And you know what happened is the Holy Spirit came. How many know that the Holy Spirit was sent by God to convict sinners and to comfort saints and to empower the church? We just heard our brother read the scripture that when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, He will endue you with power. And you'll be my witnesses at Daytona Bike Week, at Sturgis Bike Week, at Arcadia Bike Fest, at Leesburg Bike Fest. Wherever God sends us to a place where there are many hurting and broken and lost people, it is God's passion, it is God's heart to reach out to touch them and let them know that He knows that they're not perfect. He knows that they're broken and hurting on the inside, but there is an answer. There is a healer. There is a Savior. There is a Redeemer and a Deliverer whose name is Jesus, that is more than willing and more than able to come to them if they will just turn their eyes upon Jesus and say, "Yes, Lord, I have failed. I have faults. I have problems. I'm broken on the inside." How many know that God is looking for the brokenhearted, those that are hurting on the inside, and they really don't understand and know that there is someone named Jesus that is looking for them, and that He will heal their broken heart, and He will touch their wounded soul, and He will lift them up and change their circumstances and situations if they will just look to Him? God has given us an open door. But there's a scripture that says, God has given us an open door, but there are many adversaries. How many know the devil doesn't like what we do? The devil doesn't like it when we, like the song says, when we go to the enemy's camp to take back that he stole. He stole people's lives, their souls, their families, their health, their finances, their spiritual well-being. The devil is to steal, kill, and destroy. But, and I love that word sometimes, but He has come to give us life and that more abundantly. Amen. And you know what we've learned in the years that we've been doing this ministry is, first of all, you can't reach people you're not with. So we've got to go to where they are. Amen. And God has called us to this segment of society. I like what the missions director here said. It's a very unique ministry. Some people would call it a lot of other different things. A very strange ministry, or a very different ministry, or a very difficult ministry.
But what we found is the safest and best place to be is in the will of God. And He's called us to this ministry. And I like to say, we like to call it an opportunity on wheels. An opportunity on wheels. I have a whole nother message that I preached recently that would have fit real well, but we were at the outreach yesterday, and a man came up and started conversation, and he was a Christian man. And we got to sharing scripture, and we got to talking about God and how that God called us to this ministry to be at these bike rallies, reaching out to hurting people. And he directed me to my message today. It's a message I preached before, but he added to it. And I said, "Brother, did you know that God sent you here today? So that I could be a blessing to you and you could be a blessing to me?" And he just texted me a little while ago while I was sitting right there, and he began to share some more scripture that God gave him to share with me. And I said, "Thank you. I'm about to preach, and I'm preaching that very message that we talked." How many know God knows what you need, when you need it? He knows where you're at. He knows every single situation that you're in. And, you know, it's amazing. Only He could do that. He's got millions of peoples, and yet He knows every single one of the hairs on our head. Mine are easy to keep track of. But God is great. He is so good. My wife started to say that when we began this ministry, it was just me and her. We felt like God was calling us to this ministry. It's too long a story to tell how it all came about. But we started out, and now this is our 15th year doing this, and we co-founded this ministry, Honor Bound Motorcycle Ministry. It is now the official Assemblies of God Motorcycle Ministry, and we've got people that have joined it, and our adherents, and our people that we network with. We have thousands, not only in America, but now all over the world. I didn't know. My wife said we had no idea what doors God would open or what things God would do when we got into this ministry. I've had the opportunity through our district superintendent, whose brother is a pastor in Denmark, and it just so happens that at his church, he hosts a Christian motorcycle group, and that group is very much like our group here. And they were holding the very first Christian motorcycle conference for Northern Europe. And he, district superintendent, I saw him at a funeral service. And he was in front of me, and he turned around and he said, "Keith, can I talk to you for a few minutes after the funeral is over?" And I said, "Yes, sir. I've got plenty of time." And I wish he hadn't have done that, because I don't know what happened after that. Because when he said he needed a few minutes of my time, I thought, "Oh, now what's he going to talk to me about? Has somebody made a report? Has somebody placed a complaint? Has somebody, you know, done something like that?" And I told him that I was going through all that thought process while we were waiting to talk. And he said, "I'm so sorry about that. I forget that I'm the superintendent. And when I tell somebody like that, they don't know what I'm coming with." But he said, "What it is my brother is hosting this this Christian motorcycle conference in Denmark, in Copenhagen, and it's the first of its kind in Northern Europe, and there'll be people there from 7 or 8 different countries representing motorcycle ministry." And my brother asked me if I could speak. This is pastor or superintendent speaking. He said, "Well, I could always speak, but I'm not the guy." He said, "But I know a guy." And he said, "You're the guy. Would you be willing to go to Denmark and speak at this?" I said, "Well, I'm a U.S. missionary, but if my district superintendent is asking me to go, what can I say?" So long story short, I got to go and preach at the first conference, and there were people there from Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, Poland, Norway. I don't remember all the countries, but it was an amazing opportunity, and I got to see that God, guess what? We don't know what's going on in other countries sometimes. Sometimes, how many know that we kind of live in a little bubble? We got our own thing going on, and we see what just is around us, But I want to just tell you, I want to report to you that God is everywhere and He's working everywhere. He is alive and well on planet Earth on all four corners, and He is raising up people to reach people in every segment of society. I'm excited today to be a part, just a very small part, a microcosm of what God is doing on a huge scale to reach people that need Jesus all over the face of the globe. And I told my superintendent, I told my chaplaincy director in Springfield, Missouri, the boss man of all the chaplains, I said, you know, my explanation of my calling is not necessarily just to bikers, but I'm a missionary that rides a motorcycle, and I will go to whoever God opens a door to go to preach to whatever group of people that will listen to me just because I ride a motorcycle. And as crazy as it might sound, God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise and to get in doors that might not otherwise open, except that this crazy tool called a motorcycle gets me into places that I never would have been able to go to tell people about Jesus. And as long as we keep Him at the very forefront and as the very object of why we do what we do, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, I've had a lot of people approach me and say, man, I ride motorcycles and I love doing that. How can I get to be what you are? And I said, well, start by talking to God about it. But if you want to follow us around for a couple of months, you might not feel the same way that you do right now, because there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. There's a lot of traveling in all kinds of weather. There's a lot of hardship involved. There's a lot of things. Get going to people in certain places that are not typical places that you would like to go to, but God sends you there because that's where the mission is. And you've got to keep Jesus at the forefront. It's not about a motorcycle. It's not about riding a motorcycle or what your motorcycle looks like or sounds like or feels like. It's about the fact that it will take you to the place that you can connect with somebody that you need to lead to Jesus. If you have a Bible, if you'll turn with me to, first of all, two places. But first of all, the book of Ephesians. I was in a meeting where there was a youth pastor speaking, and he said, if you'll turn on your Bibles, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm officially old, because that was a weird thought, but that's where we're at, because I see some of you out there turning on your Bibles, and I do have a Bible app, and I've even got my phone up here, and mainly I have it here to tell me what time to shut up. Because I'm done. But I still use, I'm not being crazy or anything, but I still use this because it's got notes in it. It's got tear stains in it. It's a red letter edition. I love reading the words of Jesus, and you know that they're Jesus' words and when they're in the red letter. And it just does something for me. Maybe I'm a little old-fashioned in that way. But let's go to Ephesians, and I want to share a word with you that God gave me. And this isn't the word, but this sets it up right here. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you He made alive, or you He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you He made alive, or quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. How many know that Jesus didn't come for good people? He didn't come for good people. Jesus didn't even come for bad people. You know who Jesus came for? Dead people. And we were all dead in trespasses and sins. And Jesus came to raise the dead to new life. You know, there are people that sometimes get hung up on race, color, religion, background, nationality, all those things. There's only two kinds of people: dead people and saved people. And until they're saved, they're dead in trespasses and sins. My message, if you'll go with me now to Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 47. If I were going to title this, I would call it Fishing in the Dead Sea. Father, as we turn in our Bibles or on our devices to the book of Ezekiel, we, God, ask you that you will speak to our hearts today. Lord, that you will say only those things that you desire to say, that, Lord, that we won't interfere, Lord, with the moving and the work of the Holy Spirit, but that you, God, would speak to our hearts in such a way that we're challenged, that we're inspired, that we're uplifted. God, that we are spoken to in such a way that it won't go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, it will take up residence in our spirit man, so that when we leave this place, God, the challenge and the intensity and the fire, Lord, of your call and the purpose of the church would be something that burns inside of us, would make us realize that it's bigger than we are. God, that it's more important than anything else that we do or anywhere else that we go. But God, it is the great commission of Jesus Christ given to the body of Christ. Lord, that we would indeed go into every place to every people and preach the gospel. And Lord, that we would see the manifested presence of God Almighty touching and redeeming and saving and delivering people, raising them up, Lord, and calling them into the ministry. Lord, that we might hasten the return of Jesus Christ for his church. God, let your word have an impact on us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel 47, I want to read verse 1, and you can later go back and read this whole thing, but for the sake of time, I'm going to read just a couple verses in verse 1 and then jump down to verse 8 through 10. It says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple." Ezekiel speaking here, talking about a vision from God. He says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east." Very important there, that it's going toward the east. "For the front of the temple faced the east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar." Now, if you'll go down to verse 8. "Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be," and I love this part, I love all of it, but I love this part, "and it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many." Exceedingly many. Now, when it says that they will be from En Gedi or En Gedi to En Eglaim, En Gedi is on one side, and En Eglaim is on the opposite side. So he's saying from coast to coast, the fishermen will be out there. And does anybody know the sea that lies directly to the east of Jerusalem? If you look on a map, you'll be able to see that. What sea is that, somebody? The Dead Sea, right? So what this is saying, he's giving a prophecy, but it's also an analogy. And stay with me closely, because God gave me this at a time when I had only ever heard this scripture preached, and I skipped over the part that I always heard preached about wading out into the water from the ankles to the knees to the waist to the chest and then over the head, and that's all good, but that's not the point of this message. The point of the message is this. He's talking about water flowing out of the temple. Now, that's Old Testament. New Testament, what is the temple? We are. New Testament, this is talking about living water flowing out from the temple. What is the living water in the New Testament? John chapter 7 says that there will be living water that will flow out from your innermost being. And this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet crucified or glorified. So in the New Testament, the analogy that's given in the Old Testament is an analogy of living water coming out from the temple. And may I just say that the temple is us. The living water is the Holy Spirit. And where is it flowing? It's flowing to the Dead Sea. And may I say the Dead Sea of humanity. The message of this, the powerful message of this for the New Testament church, is that God has raised up us, the church of Jesus Christ. Thank God for buildings where we can meet. But God's not very concerned about the building. He's concerned about the church inside the building, which is you and me. Amen? Now, it's great that we go to church, and we must go to church, and the church is the basis for all ministry. But God has raised up a church of people so that we could be the church, whether we're in the church or whether we're outside the church, so that we could let the living water, the Holy Spirit of God, flow not just in here. Now, I thank God for revival spirit. I thank God for what I feel in here this morning. I thank God that when two or three are gathered together, that the Spirit of the Lord is there. He is with us. And when we praise Him, He inhabits His praises. When we were singing, we could feel the presence of God. And how many know that we need that? We need the rejuvenation. We need the recharging. We need the anointing that breaks the yokes and the chains and the bondages that the devil tries to put on us, because he's constantly trying to steal, kill, and destroy from us. But the great news is that God gives His Holy Spirit not so that it can just flow inside the building, but so that it can flow outside the building. The Scripture said it flowed out from under the altar. When we're praying at this altar, or at your home altar, or wherever you choose to make an altar, where our prayer should be, God, send the Holy Spirit of God to flow out from this altar and from this temple and touch somebody that's dead and raise them to life. Let them become a new creation in Christ Jesus and manifest the powerful Spirit of Almighty God that you read just a little while ago in Acts 1 and 8. We will be endued with power. Power for what? So that we can run around? So that we can feel goosebumps? So that we can have a good time and go tell everybody, wow, we had church today? Yes, that's all great. But the real message and the real purpose is so that it can get outside of this building. How many know Jesus died for everybody? Dead people. Did you know? Okay, I'm going somewhere now, and I hope you'll allow me. And don't get mad at me. But did you know that Jesus loves bad people? Did you know that Jesus loves terrorists? Did you know Jesus loves murderers? You know, in our mentality, sometimes that's difficult to deal with in our thought processes. But how many know that before they were those things, they were just a person? And the devil came in and got control of their mind. And when he gets control of your mind, the next thing he gets control of is your body. And then he gets control of you doing things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Now, I don't know if there's anybody out here besides me that was an addict at one time. But I can tell you that as an addict, I began to do things that I would not ordinarily do, because I needed to get that fix. A drunk will do things he ordinarily would not do. Bad things, mean things, stealing things, so that he can get the thing that will satisfy that addiction. You know what? I never became not an addict. I just changed my addiction. Are you with me? They will tell you in programs, I'm not against programs, 12-step programs and all those kinds of things. God can work through that. But I got saved in a one-step program called the blood of Jesus. When the blood of Jesus got all over my life, I was delivered lock, stock, and barrel from drugs and alcohol. But before that took place, I became a person that was getting progressively worse and worse and doing more and more bad things because the devil was in control of me. But, you know, just like I read a little while ago, the devil, he's trying to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus has come that he can set people free from the bondage of all that. I've heard testimonies, and I have friends, and I know people that at one point in time in their life, they were in the depths of darkness and sin and debauchery and whatever other word that you can think of, but Jesus brought them up out of the miry clay. And there is no greater thing that can happen inside the church than to hear a testimony of somebody that was so lost and undone without God that there was almost no hope for them. And then Jesus did the unbelievable. Because all things are possible to them that believe. With us, it's not possible, but with God, it's possible. And so those people that are in this Dead Sea that I'm talking about, all of lost humanity, God is calling us to be those fishermen lined up from coast to coast, casting out our nets and bringing in a great catch of fish. You know, I remember the scripture over in the Gospels where they had been fishing all night and Jesus showed up and they didn't really know it was Jesus. And he said, "Do you have any fish?" And they said, "Lord, we haven't caught a thing all night long." And he said, "Well, cast the net over on the other side of the boat. Maybe we've been fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Maybe we've been barking up the wrong tree." But when Jesus showed up, he told them what to do. And when they did what he said, they caught a bunch of fish. Lord, help us do what you say. Help us hear your voice. Help us follow your directions. Help us be willing to go the extra mile. Help us be willing to fish even in the Dead Sea. Now, it seems a ludicrous thing to fish in the Dead Sea. Anybody ever been there? I've never been there. I've got friends that have been there. My dad was there. He said there's so much salt in that sea that you can literally sit almost upright and still float. There's so much salt in there. And the salt is kind of why it's dead. There's nothing that lives in there because it's so salty. The salinity is just so heavy, nothing can live in that sea. And it's almost like saying to get a fishing pole and go out here and find a mud puddle and throw your line in there and you've got just as much chance of catching something. But when Jesus says do it, how many know that it'll happen? Remember when they got the tax money, they went down to the water and they just caught a fish and it had the tax money in the fish's mouth? You know, and God sometimes will have us do something that seems crazy, like go be missionaries to bikers and ride motorcycles around the country. Seems like a crazy thing. But when we said, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you want us to do, that's what we'll do." When we got to places where we were going to do ministry, we found out that Jesus was already there. And that he already had a plan. And he already had people to help us. And he already had resources to help us with. And all we had to do is just do what he said do. And God would bring a harvest. And God would bring results, and God would work miracles, and we would see people get saved and changed that everybody else that knew them totally gave up on them, and then Jesus did a miracle. Jesus shows up, and wherever he shows up, he does a miracle. Because that's his passion, that's his purpose, that his love is for lost people. Amen, and we need to get that same love. We need to pray for a baptism of the love of God like we've never experienced it before. Because, folks, I'm just going to be real with you. How many know there's a lot of people out there and maybe even around you that are hard to love? How many will be real with me and say, there's some people that I don't like? And you don't want to say this because it's not scriptural and it's, you know, kind of like a sin, I guess. There's some people I don't like at all. I might even say I hate those people. They don't look good. They don't act good. They don't smell good. They don't do good. But Jesus loves even them. And it takes a special kind of love for us to love the way he wants us to love. Man, my time is running out. I need to come into a close here. So, fishing in the Dead Sea. The waters flowed out of the temple. You Mr., Miss, you're that temple. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you is that living water. It's flowing and it wants to flow. And God, you know, I was praying before the service started. I said, God, we come into church and you always pour in. Aren't you glad God pours in? But God, what I'm praying is that you'll pour out through us. You know, there's two seas in Israel. One is the Dead Sea, and the other is, anybody know? The Sea of Galilee. Both of those seas are fed by the same river, the Jordan River. But one sea is dead, and the other is the most thriving ecological system in the world. The Sea of Galilee has more species of fish and birds and all different kinds of life than any other place in the world. What do you think is the difference between those two seas? The Sea of Galilee has an outflow. The Dead Sea does not. The Dead Sea has no outflow. There's an inflow, but there's no outflow. So here's what I'm saying. We can get all the inflow at church, at Bible study, at prayer meeting, or whatever. We can get all the inflow in the world. But if we don't have any outflow, you know what happens? Stagnancy. Stagnancy becomes poison. Poison becomes death. I know people that are all connected into the Word of God. They listen to preaching all the time, but they have absolutely no victory in their life because there's no outflow. God pours in so that we can pour out. When we pour, how do we pour out? Well, we pour out by having a missions conference. We're giving to missions. Everybody can't go to Peru or Africa or Russia or even the biker world. But you can allow your assets, your resources, your prayers, your passion to flow out. And then you can also flow out all over this neighborhood, all over this town, all over this area and everywhere. Your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and your uttermost parts of the earth where God has put you to be a beacon of light to those that are lost and dying. I got another message that I preach sometimes. I don't have time for that, but it's called being more than a lighthouse. A lighthouse is a good thing. It helps you to see. But when you're drowning, all it helps you to do is see where you're drowning. So being a lighthouse is good, but we have to be more than that. We have to be a lifesaver. And I preached that, and I brought lots and lots of lifesavers, and I would just throw them out to everybody and say, go be a lifesaver. Don't just be a light, be a lifesaver. Throw out the lifeline. Connect with somebody. Touch somebody. Don't just preach to them. Get involved with them. Our ministry is all about servanthood ministry, and it's about building relationships with people that really don't care what you know until they find out if you care. You know, I learned that from my daughter. She was doing children's church, and she was teaching workers that were going to work with her. And she said, I'm just going to tell you, these kids could care less what you know. What they care about is they want to know if you care. And once they know that you care, then they might care what you know. They might listen to what you've got to say. Jesus is calling us to go out and fish in the Dead Sea using the bait of love. And using the bait of care. And using the bait of passion for the lost. And that's how we're going to catch all these fish that God has called us to in the Dead Sea. I want to close right now and turn it back over to the pastor in a moment. But before I do, I want to throw this out to you just real quick. We want to wrap this up, but I feel like I really need to do this. You know, our thing that we try to get people to do, and you know this, is we try to get people to say a prayer and invite Jesus into their heart. That's what we do, right? So that we can get them saved, and we try to. And you know, you think about that. I've given it a lot of thought because I've done a lot of altar calls and done a lot of ministry. And you know, we think, okay, that's how we close the deal. We get them to pray and ask Jesus into their heart. But I'm just going to say there's a little bit more to it than that. Because I'm going to pick on, can I pick on you, sir? You don't have to get up. I'm just going to pick on you and use you for an example. If I said, what's your name? Trevor. If I said to Trevor, Trevor, when the service is over, I'm coming to your house. Like Jesus did with Zacchaeus. Right? Remember that story? Jesus told Zacchaeus, he said, hey, I want to go to your house. And so I'm telling Trevor, after church, I'm going to go to your house. And he might say, okay, well, I might have to check with the wife or whatever, you know, make sure that's okay. And then we go to the house. And when we get there, maybe he lets me into the living room. And maybe, hopefully, he'll let me into the dining room because that's where we're going to eat. And then after that, I might need to go to the restroom, so maybe he'll let me in there. But how many know when you invite somebody to your house and they've never been there before and you don't really know them, you might have some rooms that you don't want them to go into? Oh, man, I'm getting a reaction here. There might be some closets. There might be some places that have got stuff in them. You know, you don't necessarily want the pastor to go in there because maybe there's some stuff in there you don't want nobody to know about, especially the pastor. And, you know, when we let Jesus in our heart, we want him to come into our heart because we want to make it to heaven. But could it be that we don't want him to go in every room in our heart because maybe there's some stuff in there? Maybe there's some stuff that needs to be cleaned out. Maybe there's even some stuff in there that's causing us problems. Maybe there's some guilt. Maybe there's some hidden sins. Maybe there's some unforgiveness. Maybe there's some stuff that's clogging our pipes. So, you know, people come to church and talk about how they want the Holy Spirit to fall. You know, Holy Spirit will always fall. The problem is that he can't always flow because our pipes are clogged up. And we need the Roto-Rooter of heaven to come and clean our pipes out. And could it be that this morning there's somebody here today that you would say, Jesus, would you come into even the closets of my heart, even the places where there's hurt? Because as I said earlier, church folk act like everything's perfect, but it ain't always perfect. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe there's just something there. And you wouldn't tell anybody because you just, you know, either you don't want to burden them or you don't want to admit it. But we all have struggles. As long as we're walking around in flesh, we have struggles. Amen? But Jesus knows. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, across the building today, Lord, you've issued a call about missions, and that's why we're here. But Lord, before we can even answer a call about missions, Lord, maybe we just need to have you come in and do a cleaning in our heart and life and in our thought process. God, if there are some cobwebs, if there are some clogs, if there are some things that need to be moved, that need to be cleansed, that need to be some, maybe the trash taken out, Lord, there's some things, Lord, I'm praying that across the building, Lord, I'm not even going to ask people to raise their hand because, Lord, you can search their hearts and know every single person that has a situation or something in their life right now that, Lord, only you can do something about it. Only you can touch and heal and restore and cleanse, God. And I'm asking that you'll do that in this place today. Father, for every single individual. And then, God, I'm also praying. I'm shifting gears now. And, God, I'm praying for the mission field. I'm praying, God, for the church. I'm praying, God, that you'll give us a new vision. God, without a vision, we perish. So, God, I'm praying for a vision and a baptism of passion and love for the lost. Because, God, we're going to leave here and we're going to go do what we do. But, Lord, these people here, I'm praying for them that, God, you will call them to the mission field of their neighborhood, of their job, of their family, of those surrounding them. Lord, that you will throw out the lifeline through their lives, Lord, to bring in souls for the harvest of the kingdom. Lord, you and only you can do these things. Spiritual work cannot be done in the flesh. Lord, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So, God, move by your Spirit on us, in us, and through us to build your kingdom. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaks.com. AG.org.